Okay, I'm just going to jump right into it. This is a Fleetwood Mac song. Play a lot of classic rock songs. December, mid-December, around this time. A lot of people start leaving. And the town becomes empty. Is there a song about that?
Thank you. my pill stays the pain. Can't find a thing to ease the rain. Love to try to settle down, but everybody's leaving town. Some gotta win, some gotta lose. Charlie's got the blues.
Yeah. You know, this is a Kiba Crosslegged came on the show, like one of the very first ones we had, and she played this song. It's called These Days, which I think I found out recently that Jackson Brown wrote it when he was 16 years old, which is crazy because it sounds like it was a song written by an elderly person.
Has to do with Irving, our lovely sound person.
Oh yeah, I know what you're gonna say.
Irving proposed to his girlfriend and she said yes.
Woo! Congratulations, Irving.
Okay, I have more good news.
Okay.
It also has to do with Irving. Irving got his first platinum record.
Are you serious?
I am serious. Irving, don't say
you're
what song it was.
You're spilling a lot of...
I've spilt worse things, man. Does anyone want to guess what song Irving worked on that went platinum? Hunter, go fuck yourself. It was Hot Girl Summer. Yes.
Are you serious?
Wait, did you not know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, Irving was an engineer on Hot Girl Summer. That is insane.
He recorded all of Megan's vocals for him.
Yeah. And the crazy thing about this is he told me that he worked on this song like 2 months ago. Like, he was just holding this in his back pocket and not spilling it immediately. If I worked on that song, it would be the first thing I said to everyone I met.
Yeah, well.
What a humble king. Anyway, Irving's having a really good week. I'm having an okay week. Doug, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Yeah. Could be worse. I know I'm spilling. Stop judgmentally looking at the mess I'm making.
Okay.
Oh, my God. So, Chris Harris is going to play on the show tonight.
Yeah.
And normally, we have a guest that I like to interview.
Oh, yeah.
But I really wanted to have this episode, which is the last episode of the decade.
And also your birthday.
Yeah, it's also my birthday. Yeah. So
I didn't say that. I said that already.
Yeah. I'm gifting myself with even more talking time to hog up. We don't have a guest on this week. Instead, I came up with a pretty comprehensive review of the last decade that I'm going to share with all of you. I understand that there's a lot of fatigue around this issue because all media outlets and websites have been just nonstop lists about the last decade. And I think the idea that you can sum up a decade in a list of 10 things is it's really absurd and arrogant. And I am not absurd, and I'm definitely not arrogant. So I'm not going to do that. I have 3 lists of 10 things that I think pretty accurately sum up the decade. This decade, you know, like it started off pretty optimistic, and I feel comfortable saying this, ending as it started. It's a pretty optimistic decade. I think the future's going great. just some background for how these lists work. Things are ranked on relative importance. So there's good things on the list, there's bad things on the list. If number 6 on the list is a bad thing, but number 5 is a good thing, then that means that number 5 was more good than number 6 was bad. And listen, I understand that there's no such thing as like any sort of moral objectivity, so ranking things on how truly good or bad they are doesn't really make sense. And also, like, assigning these things an arbitrary decade doesn't make sense because time's a total construct and not real. However, if you are going to objectively list things based on how good or bad they are, I feel more qualified to do it than other people because I have a podcast and over 1,000 Twitter followers. So that's all it takes now. So I'm going to get started with this list. Okay. Number 3 in the top 10 lists of the last decade. These are 10 things, the top 10 things I did in the 2010s. Number 10, quitting my job. This technically happened in 2009, but was incredibly formative for me, so I included it. I'd just been kicked out of college and was able to move out of my parents' house by taking this terrible job in Midtown where I printed promotional materials for Madison Square Garden. It sucked all the hope out of me, and by the time I was 20, I thought my life was over until I quit this job by faxing a Xerox of my middle finger to my boss. Number 9, make out under a freighter. I was on a date walking through Greenpoint, and it started to rain, so we made out under an 18-wheeler truck, and it was awesome. Number 8, give Don Christmas gifts. Don's the old man who works the overnight shift at the 24-hour gas station in my town, and if I'm bored, I'll walk over. We'll have really polite conversation about politics. We don't agree, but we get along, And for the last few years, I've been giving him Christmas gifts because I don't think he has a lot of family left. Number 7, go back to therapy. There are very few therapists in the town that I live in that take Medicaid. And on top of that, upstate New York is kind of like the Wild West of mental health. So a lot of the therapists in my town are like the gunslingers of therapy, where they like just take blind shots and hope they hit the bullseye. So I've had 3 therapists suggest I'm autistic. I've had 2 therapists suggest that I was molested as a child. And my current therapist, on 2 individual sessions, has told me that if I watched The Notebook, it would make me feel a lot better. The first time she did this, it made me think she was a bad therapist. The second time she did this, it just made me think she really wants to talk about The Notebook. That makes her a freak, and I like it. Number 6, learn to whistle. One day in my late 20s, I woke up and I knew how to whistle. The world's magic. Number 5, getting wasted on the coach bus. I spent a lot of the last decade taking the 140 bus to my mom's house, and both sides of my family have lived in North Jersey or Rockland County since they immigrated here. Nobody speaks German. Nobody speaks Italian. Drinking Coors Light on the Orange Turnpike is the closest thing I have to an actual heritage. Number 4, write down what I didn't do. Since quitting my first job, I've been incredibly privileged to muster a life where I'm juggling numerous gigs and creative projects. I'm also really grateful to have a lot of artistic people in my life that I can work with. And the downside of this is that I have often, my creative appetite often commits myself to things that I do not have the talent or the time to complete. And I have cataloged every single idea that I had that's been in a notebook or in a text message, and I put it all in one big spreadsheet. It's 193 incomplete project ideas. Number 3, Jordan, in parentheses, girlfriend. I've only had one truly serious monogamous relationship. When it ended, it took me by surprise. She said it wasn't working. I knew it wasn't working. It took me a while to figure this out, but I realized that even in my ideal vision of a relationship, there was still a baseline of pain and conflict. And I don't want that for her. I hope to one day not want that for myself. I did not write that to be a joke. Number 2, taking care of my father. 7 years ago, my father was diagnosed with an aggressive form of lung cancer. I feel uncomfortable talking about it, yet it often feels like the only thing I ever talk about. In many ways, it's come to define me, and that feels incredibly asinine because literally all your parents are going to die. Number 1, the biggest thing I did in the 2010s is Silent Barn. Silent Barn was a collectively run art space I got involved in the beginning of the decade until it closed in 2018. It feels inappropriate to call it a thing that I did because I feel no ownership over it, but it's also the most important thing I was involved with, and that's suiting because none of us own anything. Cool. So that was list number 3. I understand that was a little myopic. You have to understand, I only experience my own life, so it's incredibly important to me. The next list, I understand we like live in like little bubbles, and a lot of the times art just feels like postmodern hell where nothing is new and everything is just ripping off 8 other things, so it feels like it's new, but it's just a cycle of regurgitation. So I wanted to not talk about things that did happen in the last decade, but I want to focus on things that didn't happen in the last decade. So list number 2. These are the top 10 things I didn't do in the 2010s. Number 10, sing Kiss Me by Sixpence None the Richer at karaoke. I'd be really good at this. It's like my second favorite song, and I sing it all the time. I've never sang it at karaoke, but trust me, if I did, you would all fall in love with me. Number 9, sustaining Silent Barn. The one part of Silent Barn I did feel ownership over was keeping it going as a self-sufficient endeavor. That didn't happen, and when it failed, a lot of people relied on it, so their disappointment stays with me. Number 8, visiting Don. Don from the gas station had to stop working lately because he was hospitalized to have his foot amputated. I don't know if that counts as quitting or getting fired, but he no longer works there. I know where he lives. He, like me, lives in the house he was raised in. It's 5 minutes from me. I've never gone to see him. One side of me thinks that if I do, it will be uncomfortable, and I will realize that we were never that close and that it was weird that I showed up at his house. The other side of me thinks that I'm probably responsible to this person and I'm just not going to see him. Whichever of those two things is correct, it's the same end result. He's just like a person who I have like funny stories about how we're friends. Number 7, alcohol poisoning. Number 6, pick a religion. I hate it when people say they're religious but not spiritual. I feel the inversion of that. I am not spiritual, but I love form and tradition. Also, as a white who doesn't want to do something tacky, like wear a soccer jersey for a team in a country I'm never going to go to, the closest thing I feel to like lineage is this like faded Catholic family that I have. Catholics have pretty firmly branded themselves poorly, so it feels fraught if I just full-on become a Catholic now. A few people have suggested I convert to Judaism. They definitely have the whole death thing figured out pretty well, but I hate thinking about my own death because, again, I'm not spiritual. Number 5, intros to this show. We've been doing special delivery for over a year, and the feedback I constantly get is that the show has no proper introduction, and it's very hard to tell what the fuck is going on. I keep meaning to fix this, but I never do. If I'm being defensive, I would say it's a deep-rooted instinct to self-sabotage, but if I'm being honest, I'm probably just lazy. Number 4, call Nick. Nick is the only friend I grew up with who still lives in Monroe. He's a genius who was going to be a chemical engineer, but due to his status as an undocumented immigrant, he couldn't receive his grant money and had to move back in with his parents above the sushi restaurant in town. I'll see him if I stop by the liquor store he manages, but I never call him. Number 3, apologize to my exes. Despite previously saying I've only had one real girlfriend, there's a list of people who I refer to as my ex-girlfriend, which says more about me than it does the nature of our relationships. I always thought that if I never made it real, it would never be real, but I was wrong. On good days, I think about how the worst of my behavior was selfish inconsideration, and reaching out to apologize would needlessly burden these people to forgive me. On bad days, I think they won't forgive me. Number 2, these are things I didn't do in the last decade. Number 2, take care of my father. I got a lot of praise for moving in with my parents and being there for my father when he was dying, and it's all praise that I gladly accepted. I didn't take care of him. I was physically there, and I knew that what my father needed to do was admit that he was dying. He didn't. I'd stay up at night drinking to prepare myself to wake up and have a conversation with him about what was going to happen. I never did that. I would just sit there next to him watching Pawn Stars for a year. And when he finally started to die, he was angry and scared. And that only stopped when he was on too many drugs to be conscious. He died in physical pain, which was unavoidable. But he also died in emotional pain. And I don't think I could have prevented that, but I never tried. Number 1, and this is no longer true, I guess, write about my father. There are 3 never-ending long-form pieces I have written about my father, and they are all dramatically different from each other. I couldn't control who he was when he was alive, and now that he's dead, I have all the control, except I can't use it. So we're having a good time. This is the last list. I swear to God, this next one isn't about me. I feel like the scope of these lists have been a little narrow. So I want to talk about things that we all experience or that affect all of our lives. This last list is the top 10 things of the last decade. Just all things. Okay. This is also a much shorter list than the other, so I'm going to breeze through this, okay? Okay. And again, I want to stress this. These are not all good things. Some of these are just things that exist, and they're bad, but we all have to deal with them. And then some of them are things that I actually love. But it doesn't matter that I love them, because I am the arbiter of objective truth in this scenario. Okay, so the top 10 things of 2010, or of the 2010s. Number 10, racism. I'm optimistic about a rising class awareness amongst people my age, but if people think that a socialist utopia will in and of itself end racism, they have their head up their ass. Number 9, sexism. See above. Number 8, global warming. Since the beginning of time, humans have been in conflict with nature, and global warming is the clearest example of how capitalism and geopolitics blind us from banding together and rising up against our one true enemy, God. Number 7, Marvel movies. These movies have aggregated over half a century of pop culture to give us everything we wanted, and all we do is shit all over them. Number 6, Pluto is no longer a planet. There is no better testament to the willpower of humans. Man giveth and man taketh away. Number 5, teenagers. I will not elaborate on this. Let them live. Number 4, Daniel Bryan winning the WWE Championship at WrestleMania 30. Okay, so the thing about when Daniel Bryan won the championship at WrestleMania 30 is a lot of people think the thing that was beautiful about this is that it delivered the meritocracy that we were all promised as children. In wrestling, the person who's the world champion is actually, very rarely, the best wrestler. Daniel Bryan was the best wrestler at WrestleMania 30. He finally won the championship. That's not the good thing about it. The good thing about it is the only reason he won is because they fucked up writing his storyline, and the only thing that made sense was for him to win the championship. The only version of a world that I can hope for is one where we fuck something up and then get justice out of it. Number 3, there is a good chance All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey will go to number 1 for the first time this year. It just did? Are you fucking serious? Fuck it. Yes. Okay, cool. I checked it 2 nights ago. It was at number 3. I got it today. Oh my God. Holy shit. Moving on. Number 2 of the top 10 things of the decade. Game of Thrones finale. It sucked. It's the worst thing that I've ever watched. This show is bullshit. At the end, it's all about the power of storytelling. I never want to see another epic that's about how storytelling brings us all together and we all live on through stories. Fuck that. That's not how it works. Shit just happens, and then more shit happens, and you have to like make sense of it after the fact. But in a way, the Game of Thrones ending being so bad is the truest way that stories actually take place. It's just a bunch of shit, and you're like, oh, fuck, I committed years to this. I can't admit that it was this fucking bad the whole time. So, the number one thing of the decade, it feels really, like, self-evident, and I feel dumb and obtuse and obvious even naming this. But, you know, like 2015, 2016, I feel like that time is really defined by one thing. And we've all read the same lists. To Pimp a Butterfly by Kendrick Lamar. Hands down, the number one thing of the decade. I love that album. So is there any questions? Any comments? Cool. Chris, you want to come up?
So yeah, my name is Chris Harris. I play music, amongst other things. I am from the island that is long. And I'm going to play a few songs for you. Is that okay? That's cool. Cool. This first song is called Loon.
Ooh.
So the next song is called Tiny Feet. I wrote this on my 21st birthday. I'm 24 now, so it's pretty old. And I was 3 years old. But I started writing on my 21st birthday because I was like, oh, yo, I can actually, like, drink, like, legally now. Like, it's chill. You know, it's chill. But then I was like, for me, it was like 21 was like that big. It was stupid because, like, we're pulling out and every kid was like, yo, we're going to go party. But, like, 21 for me was, like, the last big, like, you did it. Woo! So, during the morning, I started writing the lyrics to Tiny Feet, just kind of, like, comparing and contrasting the idea of, like, when you were younger, you think that, oh, being old's awesome. It's being old's great. And then when you're older, you were just like, oh, I want to be younger. And, like, everyone kind of, like, for some people, you know, some people don't have that luxury or that thing. Just, like, it's just a very benign thing, but just from my experience. So, like, for me, I just kind of look at both sides, and I'm just like, both sides have their ups and downs to it, you know. Both sides can be cool, both sides can't. So that's what Tiny Feet is about.
Lego cities. Now I see. Now I.
So this song is called Ocean Parkway. Olivia back there sang backup vocals on it, so you guys should listen to it because She's a great singer. I listen to her music too. She has a song called Magnets. It's awesome. It's awesome. So you should listen to that. But yeah, this is called Ocean Park One. Cruising down the ocean parkway. Spend some time with me and see my way. We're cruising down the ocean parkway. Spend some time with me and see my way. Negatives are washing away. As I see the spear in the distance, oh, oh, this feeling I was missing. The boardwalk will shine. Good food, all I need, eat the mango. Get things off my chest, let my friends know. Salt water in my lungs, drop soul. Towards the day, we're cruising down that ocean parkway. Spend some time with me, see my way. We're cruising down that ocean parkway. Spend some time with me, see my way. Put myself where I want to be. Twitch the fish so upside at the beach. Going to lose pop melody. Go away now. Oh, we're cruising down the ocean parkway. Spend some time with me and see my way. We're cruising down the ocean parkway. Spend some time with me and see my way. My way. Ooh, 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 ooh. Is the last song's a cappella?
Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever you want.
All right, sweet. Yeah, this last song is called Salt Water. I live, like, by the beach, so a lot of the songs end up being about water, which is what happens. But, yeah, it's about eggs, because why not write about your love life? And it was just being by the water, and salt water was washing my skin, and I just realized, yo, just, like, all the... just how unhealthy that relationship is. And just realizing, like, wanting to be better for that relationship in the future. Better for future relationships. So, this is Salt Water. If you guys want to clap along or snap along, keep it light, feel free to. If not, that's chill too. So, yeah. Salt water unmasking, oh, where do I begin? Loving someone like you, even though it don't sit right, I'll do my best to fight as the tide moves. push and pull a grapevine through storms and peacetime. Want someone on my side, salt water on my skin. Oh, where do I begin? Loving someone like you, even though it don't feel right, I'll do my best to fight as the tides move. Love sense was personal. When things get rough, I let go. Start to watch from within. Need to grow so others see that they can stand beside me. There's no need to leave. Let your toes sink into me as the sand covers them, and you get a sense of warmth. Embrace all those who make you feel at home, strong and wavering. Salt water on my skin. Oh, where do I begin? Loving someone like you, even though it don't sit right, I'll do my best to try as the tides move. Salt water on my skin. Oh, where do I begin? Loving someone I choose, even though it don't sit right, I'll do my best to fight. I will never lose. I will never lose.